I've very much enjoyed presenting these homilies during the last four communion services. It's been a real opportunity to just focus on communion, and so I'm going to very quickly just revise or just list what we've covered, and then move on to today's offering. So we started looking at the fourfold action, so close reading of Luke's description of the Last Supper, and young Sam has been the resident scholar in this regard, remembering that Jesus did four things and then commanded us to do them. So he took bread, he blessed it or gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it. And those four actions, as it were, represent the what, or what are we doing? What are the actions that are involved? The next week, I began looking at where, and that went took two sessions, but the first thing was just looking concretely where this communion happened. And I asked whether we are gathered around a table or at an altar. And we looked at what those two words involve, whether you consider this a table or an altar. And alongside that, also looked at sacrifice, just to understand that key word which relates to altar or table. Then I looked at when in those fourfold actions might we focus or consider that communion happens. When does God meet us? When does the communicant receive Jesus? And then we went back to where again, a second look at where, after the first one was altar table. And this time it was, is it in the, does the communion take place really at the table or in the human heart? Is it what the priest does at the table in those fourfold actions, or is communion something that really is a matter of the heart, a gracious encounter, a reception of the gospel in the heart as a spiritual experience? So what I want to do today is go to the how question. How does this work? And to do this, I need to back up a little bit and introduce or reconnect rather with the Jewish heritage of Christianity. Now, I've said many times before, and I perhaps say this more dramatically than other commentators or scholars would, but the biggest theological development of the 20th century, the biggest, as it were, realization, was that Jesus was a Jew. Now, sitting here today, that might sound so strange. Of course he was a Jew. But what had happened, particularly in European Christianity, through the centuries, is that, in the early centuries in particular, Christianity lost touch with its Jewish roots. The scriptures, they come out of a Jewish faith. They may have been, the New Testament was written in Greek, a more a language of wider currency, but they are very much Hebrew Jewish scriptures. And Jesus functioned as a Jew. But that was all forgotten. The background was forgotten. And here it comes. Nature abhors a vacuum. So into the absence of cultural background, into the absence of context, was drawn Greek thinking, Greek assumptions, Greek practices. And by the High Middle Ages, and I'm thinking now particularly around Thomas Aquinas, the Greek thinking around metaphysics really filled people's minds. So when it came to the question, how? How is the bread the body of Christ? How is the wine in the cup to be considered his life poured out for us? There was a Jewish way of understanding this in which Jesus himself functioned, but that was forgotten. So let's focus on that quickly. The Jewish culture at the time had a talent for saying, this is that, this is that. To give it a big title, transignification. Trans simply means cross, take from one place to another. So the significance of one object or one entity is transferred to another. And it pops up all over the place in the Old Testament. It is, for example, the scapegoat or the goat of that takes the sin of the people away. Let this goat carry the sins of the people of Israel, and it's chased off into the wilderness. That's an example of this kind of transignification. Now, so when Jesus is saying, this bread is my body, he is transferring the significance of who he is to this bread and enacting what was about to happen to him, and it is being broken, and saying, enter into this, receive this bread as you receive me. And similarly with the cup. Now, the Greeks didn't have this understanding. I'm blaming the Greeks, but it's really the sort of Greco-Roman, emerging European, Middle Ages sort of world. They tended to think more about spiritual categories in terms of metaphysics. And they applied Aristotle and tried to understand how the bread became the body of Christ in physical terms. It looks like bread, it tastes like bread, but actually, at the substance level, it is now the body of Christ. Now, good question, how is this bread the body of Christ? Bad answer. Bad answer. And so that is the basis for transubstantiation. So that's that the substance of bread and wine is becomes the substance of the body of Christ. It's a different trans. So the Jewish talent for transignification, this is that. And we actually function with some dimension of this all the time. Now, I'm pleased to wear a wedding ring. Now, this wedding ring is a marker of my marriage with Barbara. It has a history. She put it on my finger. It is not my wedding. It is not my marriage. But it signifies something of my marriage. And in that regard, it is special. It's sacred. It's more than a lump of gold. It carries a significance. I'd like to share a painful experience I had, which brought this home to me one day about 8-9 years ago in this building. So we have a communion table, and you can see it there. It's a stone communion table. One day at the end of a service, another group were coming in to from the Pracht to have a cultural moment here. And they needed to set up some speakers and some sound gear. And I was standing here towards the back of the church, and someone took a toolbox and put it on the communion table. Now, something inside of me hurt at that point. I felt very, very uncomfortable. Now, I get it. He was doing a job. He needed an elevated horizontal surface. Here it was. He put his toolbox there. But he was putting his toolbox on a table that for me carries the significance, or has come to carry the significance, of the place where we enact the commandments of Jesus to do this in memory of him. That table has more significance than simply a functionality. Now he didn't appreciate that, and this is what happens. Something can be significant to one person, but not to another. So, speaking to how communion happens, that Jewish talent for trans-signification. The second thing I want to point out from the Jewish background, and that was brought to us in the first reading today from Exodus chapter 12, the instructions for the Exodus. Now, we've had here many years a Seder meal where we enact the Jewish celebration of God's rescuing from Egypt when they were slaves. And then how Jesus took this and added new significance to what was happening. So in the Exodus story, blood is smeared on the doorpost to safeguard the lives of the eldest son. Jesus says he provides the blood. He is the eldest son who has been offered to save all the other eldest sons. But the real point I want to make is that Jesus carried or ran with the significance of the Passover meal and then added to it. As it were, injecting himself in the bread and the wine and saying, now this is fulfillment of all that salvation history that has gone before. Recognize me in this bread and this wine. And it must have taken hold very, very quickly, because by the first day of the resurrection appearances, you know that the two at Emmaus recognized Jesus in the breaking of bread. This must have clicked and landed very quickly. So that's what I wanted to offer you, friends, is just a few comments on understanding the how of communion and taking that to the Jewish context in which Jesus instituted and established this sacrament. And at the same time, once again, saying transubstantiation, understand what they were trying to do, but not really the best answer to the question, how does this work? Thank you.